should do me a favor referring and taking advantage, if you will, of that song and that prayer. Just think of something this week. Todd's already shared an area in his life, an area that you know and knew and would like to be different in. Just think of that. And then word of prayer, God help me to be different in that area this week. So we are talking about Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 17. Some very difficult subjects. Brother Brad dealt with a difficult passage last week and the such. And so it's important that we get the disclaimer, if you will. And that is, and this is a biblical disclaimer. It's absolutely from God's Word. You see, I have, to my knowledge, never disobeyed God in preaching a particular passage that I felt like put me in a positive light, and it advantaged me, perhaps, to an unholy level, as much as I've just always struggled with it and never had much peace with it and always felt like I was doing something, a lack of integrity. Until I heard the pastor say, "You, pastor, are charged from God's Word to preach the whole counsel of God's Word." And so a pastor of integrity, a pastor led by the Holy Spirit, will say some things that on the offset, and if you will, just face value, may look like he's advantaging himself. There's a passage, and I'll use this as an example, that says that the laborer is worthy of his hire. And then another passage that says the oxen is worthy of double honor. Both of those passages are in reference to the pay, the physical money that you give the pastor. It's the context. Well, good grief. What pastor wouldn't want to preach on that every week type thing? Well, that obviously would be a lack of integrity and advantaging yourself. But watch this. For the pastor that avoids that verse like the plague because of fear of man, that's not advantaging you either. There's a lot of churches in this nation that are not being blessed because they are not properly taking care of their pastor. And if he's going to preach the whole counsel of God's Word, he must cover it all. With that said, the reason I can use that passage here without any fear is because you guys, all you got to do is come to a business meeting. You pay your staff well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Thank you. Thank you. And we as a staff have always tried to be very grateful for that. With that said, this is one of those areas. I don't know if you've read it already, but obey them that have the rule over you. And he's talking about pastors. And he's talking about churches. And so this is on no level meant, this is not going to be a shower down opportunity. This isn't where Brother Ben's going to make some hay today. No, I'm going to try to, especially for the sake of our young people. Church, our young people need to know what type of church to look for when God calls them to another field. Now, kids, young people, young adults, you need to know we're praying God doesn't call you to another field. Yes. Yeah, yeah. But the reality is, I was born in Arkansas, and I'm in Longdale, Missouri. So it does happen. And so it's extremely important that we pass this biblical and scriptural church government practice on to our young people. And it's important that our adults understand, quote unquote, what type of church we are. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner." Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Father, change us to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I forgot this book for the first service, and turned out to be a good thing because we were running a little late on time. But I just want to share with you from a fellow that I read after quite a bit, because I think, honestly, in my humble opinion, I just want you to hear what this, and he, John MacArthur studies God's Word, word for word. He is contextual in his study. He is faithful. The point of the passage is the point of his message. And I just want you to hear what he says about this. The most obvious submission seen in this text is that given to church leaders. But God mediates his earthly rule, secular and spiritual, through various men. Even pagan rulers who have no use for God are nevertheless used by him. That means that Barack Obama was used by God to lead this country. True story. It also means Donald Trump is being used by God to lead this country. Watch this. Both men. The word's going to come to me. Never mind your political leaning. Both men are to be respected and followed as well as one can and still follow God. Amen, church? It's the truth. It's the truth. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Donald Trump didn't wrest this away from God. God gave it to him. Barack Obama didn't wrest any authority away from God. God gave it to him. But for believers, God's most important rule is through spirit-controlled men. Someday, God will rule all the earth through his Son, the King of Kings, but in the meanwhile, he rules his church through godly men. Submission to these men, therefore, is submission to God. The leaders of the church are called elders, presbyters, or overseers, bishops, or in this case, senior pastor. The titles being interchangeable. These mature men are ordered by the Spirit of God to rule over his church on earth until Christ returns. Church leaders are not to be tyrants, and it's okay for all of you to say amen right here, because they do not rule for themselves but for God. But the command is unqualified. Obey your leaders and submit to them. It is the right of such men under God and in meekness and humility to determine the direction of the church, to preside over it, to teach the word in it, to reprove, rebuke, exhort. That's from Titus 2:15. They are to shepherd the flock of God, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to their charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. That's from 1 Peter 5, 2-3. Pastors and elders, here it is, are under shepherds who serve under the chief shepherd. If someone ever, and I doubt they will, but if someone ever asks you, who's the head of your church? It ought to be muscle memory. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Don't you dare say my name. Don't you dare say any other, if you will, human's name. Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Jesus, according throughout the word, is the head of his church. I am the under shepherd. I am the pastor, if you will. I am the earthly representative, and then we as a body are the earthly representative to this world of Christ. Amen, church? And I'm this is church 101, and it's absolutely from God's word. Just as church leaders are to rule in love and humility, those under their leadership are to submit in love and humility. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 12-13. Jesus said, "He who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." When a man is placed in the rule of a local church, our submission and obedience to him is equivalent to submission and obedience to Christ. When you do not have spirit-filled leaders who rule well or submissive people who follow well, you have chaos and disunity in the church and open the doors to all sorts of spiritual problems. I could not agree more with every word, and a lot of that was Scripture, just supporting this fact. So I want to share with our young people again, especially, but for everybody within the hearing, this is Brother Ben, and it has been for 20 years. This is Brother Ben's opinion of how we, quote unquote, lead this church. If you will, the governance of this church. You will not find this in bylaws. You will not find this in our church covenant. You will find the impetus from God's word. I'll use the analogy that I've used before of what type of schooling parents are, see the air quotes, allowed to use. I truly believe that every parent in here has three choices available to them, but only one is right. You have the availability of public school. You have the availability of homeschool. You have the availability of private school. Watch this. The only one that's right for you is the one that the Holy Spirit leads you and your spouse to lead the kids in. If you just public school because that's what everybody's doing, that's not necessarily a good thing. If you, hey, there's churches that they're all full of homeschoolers. If you homeschool just because that's what all Christian parents are doing, that's not necessarily the right thing. If you private school, you see where I'm going. The type schooling that is right for you and your children is the schooling that the Holy Spirit leads you to. That's why I am so thrilled we have all three represented in this church. Amen, church? Guys, I'm a homeschool supporter. I am a private school supporter. And yes, I am a public school supporter. But you've got to pray it through. And I feel like Dawn and I did. And listen, church, where is Tony in here? All right, there, yeah, poor Tony. He's the whip in Kingston these days because Molly and Benjamin, they're in adulthood now. So poor Tony has to bear the burden of being the Kingston child that gets referred to all the time. Tony, true story or not, I use homeschool as a threat to motivate you to do your homework. True story? Yeah, true story. Because that boy don't want to be with me 24/7. No, I don't blame him a bit. I don't blame him a bit. But watch this. If at any point in time the Holy Spirit says, sorry, Ben, public school's not getting it done, it's going to be homeschool time or private school time, whatever the Holy Spirit leads. And church, I want every parent in here to feel that freedom to do what God leads them to do. Amen, church? Amen. Well, watch this. In my humble opinion, the church is the same with governance. Pray it through. Are you going to be a congregation-led church? And watch this, there's pros and cons for each one of these. The pro of congregation-led, the congregation stays involved, gets involved, and I mean, you just know what's going on because you're quote-unquote leading. The con of this, well, how dare you put that bulb in there? We didn't vote on that. That's a big con. That's a huge con. And we could kind of go from there to annual call and things of that nature. What does that mean? That means that every August the church votes on whether or not to keep the preacher for another year. I'm so glad y'all don't have that. So that's a congregation-led church. How about a quote-unquote deacon-led church? Maybe elder-led, some may call it, but a deacon-led. In other words, a body, a board of men, or whatever the case may be. There's pros and cons to that. Watch this. And then you have pastor / staff led. I feel like personally, and this is how I have led this church for 20 years, we are a combination of two and three. This church allows me to lead her. You've done that for 20 years. We have a staff now. We as a staff lead you. I didn't pick any songs out this morning. Mandy did all that. I didn't prepare Brad's message for the Awana class Wednesday night. Brad did that. I'm not picking out his events for summer. Brad's doing that. So on and so forth. And then we're going to meet today at 4:30, deacons, because we haven't had a deacons meeting in a while. But it's time to have a deacons meeting. And I'm They are a sounding board. They are a protection. And they are, yes, an accountability. But the pastor and staff leads this church. The deacons, if you will, keep us in check, pray for us, also bring things to our awareness and such of that nature. They are very much a part of the leadership of this church. What are the cons of a pastor-led church? The cons of a pastor-led church is a dictatorial pastor, where now he's going to decide. I don't want to hear that song again, Mandy. He's going to set in on Brad's lesson and see if he's doing it right. So on and so forth. Now, don't get me wrong. If some of you parents come to me and say, I may be setting in. It's not happened in 20 years. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb, church. It happens in some churches. And we need to be grateful. We need to be thankful, again, for who and what we have. But that, and so listen to me, kids. I'm fine with whatever type of leadership that the church that you are going to choose is, watch this, as long as it bows to this portion of Scripture. Because still the congregation-led church, still the board-led church, has to be willing to follow the under-shepherd. I mean, it has to, or you're no longer scriptural. So the pastor is to set the vision, in my humble opinion. The pastor is to set the direction. So in other words, again, I'm fine with whatever Mandy wants to do at Hillbilly Days this year. I'm fine with whatever Brad wants to do on his summer schedule. But don't come to me and say, Brother Ben, I think we're going to do away with Sunday school. Well, can we pray about that? And can we meet on that? So on. Because you see, in my humble opinion, that's going to now affect the entire spiritual health of our church and the such. The direction spiritually of the church, the pastor needs to have a say. Why would I say that? Because when the end comes and it's time for Bethel Baptist Church to be judged, it won't be you that goes up. You'll stand in judgment over your family. You'll stand in judgment over your personal life. The pastor will stand in judgment over the church. And I love what one pastor said. And I hope you guys are getting this. I'm not shooting at anybody or anything today. I'm in absolute peace with how we're doing things and how things are going. But there are other churches that it's not so. And if these young people find themselves in a church that there's a conflict, that's bad. And it may be a sign that they need to keep looking. And so this one pastor, he had to finally say to his church, church, if this is true, and it is, if I'm going to stand in judgment over how I have led you, don't you think I ought to have some say in how and where the church is going? And the answer is absolutely yes. It's extremely important that we bow to the scriptural demands, if you will, of how a church should be ran. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, I want to share with you these thoughts. Obey. What does that mean? Follow. Follow their teachings. Follow their lead. Follow their example. There's nothing more humbling to know that I will answer in how I lived my life because you are supposed to imitate. Now, ultimately, we're imitating Christ. But Christ sets the pastor and the pastors, if you will, to be examples. And if we're leading you wrong, you talk about a woodshed moment. God has a way to get his under-shepherd's attention. Obey them. Follow their teachings. Follow their lead. Follow their example. And then submit. What does that mean? Apply it to the point of passing them down to others. So yes, you should be listening to what this pastor, no matter his name is, and teach what he's teaching to your friends, neighbors, relatives, to your children, and the such. You should be passing it on in application. One of the neatest, and we're going to just get this on a humorous level, if we may. One of the neatest things that I have seen, and I know nobody says neat anymore, but that's okay. Because, right, it's cool when you're different. I'm the coolest person around. Because I'm so weird. I get it. Watch this, church. One of the neatest things is how I saw God use that little silly thing. He refused to let me be okay with saying curse words. He refused to let me be okay with even coming up with my own curse words. And for how many years now, when I've spread my thumb on either side of a hammer, it's praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. And many of you have seen me burn myself. Praise the Lord. You've seen me trip myself. Praise the Lord. You've seen me roll downhill. Praise the Lord. And that's all credit to God. And I've seen you change. I have. Now, this on no level goes to me. This all goes to God. But Ed Leach was the guy in our area that was known for that. And I don't know if we have a Leach in here, but they can attest to this. There was a time that Ed Leach was known to peel the paint off the walls with his language. He could motivate you if he needed to. And then one evening in Ed's kitchen, John Smith led Ed to Christ. That was the birth of Chikabachi. That was the birth of, I don't know. Because, bless his heart, he knew he couldn't say what he used to say. Blankety blank, 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 blank. He knew he couldn't do that. And he changed, church. He changed. And listen to me, church. I'm telling you, God will use this to bring revival in your life if your mouth gets as saved as your soul is. It will. This is a true story. The mines in the nation of Welsh, is that how you pronounce it? The Welsh people. This was one of the greatest revivals that ever happened. And all of the miners got saved. And for weeks, no work got done because the mules had to be retrained. Because all they knew were cuss words. Turn right, blankety blank, mule, blankety blank, the bank, the bank. And the mule would turn right because he knew the blankety blanks. And then when they cleaned up their language and did something else, the mule And they had to retrain the mules to get their mining work. That's revival, church. It's when the person at your workplace, when you say golly gee instead of something else, they go, huh? What? Trying to live like my Lord. And church, I'm telling you, as weird and as uncool as that is, God will make a difference. He absolutely will. And I'm telling you, it is beneficial for you. It is beneficial for you if you will follow the teaching of your pastors. Submit. Apply to the point of passing down the things that you've been taught. Listen to this. Wrestle with yourself until you submit. I can't speak for you, but if I really want to put something in play, I got to wrestle with it. I've got to crucify my flesh. I have to die to myself. And if you will do the same, you can apply what's being preached to you. Whether it's on the radio or whether it's in this pulpit. And what do I mean by radio? 91.5. You need to feed yourself through the week also, church. You need to wrestle with that. I'm fine with 99.1. I'm fine with that. But you need, when the Holy Spirit speaks through those things, you need to apply those things. Why? So that the pastor can give a joyful account, not a grievous one. Ultimately, that is profitable for you. Church, I don't know how it's all going to go down, but this is what I think is going to happen. I think that when it's my turn to get up to, if you will, be judged for 1997, December, to whenever. God's not just going to judge me on how I led the church. He's going to call out your name. And I so want to be able to say with joy, Lord, they followed you. They were faithful. They led their kids in daily devotions. They won their kids to Christ, whether it was through Awana Sunday School or just their personal testimony. God, they taught your kids the truths of your word. I want to be able to joyfully claim that, because there will be some names that I'm not able to do that. And I'm telling you, if you believe that this job is done in complete joy any day and every day, it's not true. There are days when information comes down the pike, and it's not just funerals. When information comes down the pike that brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so has left. Maybe they've left the church. Maybe they've left the faith. Maybe they've left practicing. Whatever the case may be, it is grievous. It ruins my day. It's something I have to step over to do everything else I've got to do. Now, church, listen. What I do with those things is I take them to the Lord, and I don't give up. The Holy Spirit won't let me give up on any of you people. He won't. He's so much more faithful than I'll ever be. But He's faithful to tend to you. He's faithful to encourage me to not give up and keep your name before Him. And listen, church, this preacher's not going to live forever. When I go to my heavenly reward, you need to find somebody that cares about you. Oh yeah, they need to be a good preacher, if you will, and they need to preach God's word unabashedly, unashamedly, but they need to love you above all else. Brother Todd referred to what I said in first service. It is a burden to preach God's word. It's not a negative burden, it's just simply a burden. And on those few times that I am relieved of that burden, it's a relief. Watch this. This is what's not a relief. Seeing you. Shaking your hand. Hugging your neck. Answering your questions. Your concern about my mother. I miss that. Sunday morning, sitting in the ICU, my beautiful wife right next to me. I missed you. I missed singing. I missed worshiping. I missed praying for our list. I missed you. And church, I'm telling you, there's very few men that would do what we are called to do if it was for any other reason than it's God's calling upon my life. I like to joke, I'd wrestle a small village of pygmies for the right to pastor this church. That's how important it is to me. Now watch this. Sounds like Brother Ben's patting you. It's not that. It's not that. You deserve a competent pastor. Amen? Every church, no matter whether it's 2 or 2,000, deserves a competent pastor. And it's so important that on that faithful day that I go to my reward or you send me on, that you find a guy that will pastor you according to Scripture. Now look here at verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this. What is this? Pray that I may be restored to you the sooner. He wanted to see them. He wanted to see their face. He wanted to love on them. And he wanted to give them an opportunity to love on him, if you will. It's so important, church, that we pray for one another. So in closing, I want to read this to you. Bethel, I love you. This love affair started 32 years ago, and I have either been your youth and music pastor or your pastor for all of those years, except 2.5 years. So 2.5 years, I've been right here. I'm sorry, with you, 29.5 years, I've been right here with you, fighting against sin, living for the Lord, trying to be His vessel in any way we can to build His kingdom work in this scriptural New Testament church called Bethel Baptist Church. I want to end this message with this biblical plea. Pray for me. I want you to pray for me. With an explanation of what lies before us. Only two Sundays, say it, church, two Sundays, say it again, two Sundays remain before Easter Walk 2019 happens. All failures are prayer failures. Sit down and make a prayer list and pray it to God for the Easter Walk. I'm going to give you some things to put on the top of the list. Number one, attitude. Attitude. We need to all have good attitudes. That's right. Because at some point, Tom may say for the third time, gritting his teeth, "Get to your spot. Please. Now. They're coming." The sinners are coming. No, I'm kidding. You got to be in your spot. And you know what the devil's going to do? And it's going to start on Wednesday, if not Tuesday. He's going to load your wagon. You and your wife are going to have a knockdown drag out at the house. Maybe in the car. He's not doing his job if you don't type thing. And we're going to pray against that, church. We are. We're going to pray against that. And you need to go in eyed, wide open that those things are going to happen. But we just need to grit our teeth and have a good attitude. Yes, sir, Tom. Sorry, Tom. Okay, sir, yes, sir. Get in your spot. But it's not just that. It's a whole bunch of things. If it rains, oh, my gosh. Oh, these things are heavy in the water. Yeah, it's going to be tough. We've got to pray for good attitudes. Lost souls. Now, the reason I put lost souls after attitudes, because it isn't going to matter if all the lost souls come, if we're all mad at each other. They're going to walk away going, "Well, man, if that's what Jesus does for you, I'm good." And so, if we have good attitudes and we pray for lost souls to come, we may see many of those folks come to Christ. And that's what it's all about. Lost souls. Some of you, if you're not able to actually participate in the play, maybe you can load your car and bring lost folks each night. Weather. Ooh, let's pray for good weather. Shannon, what degrees?
At least 80.
It's the last time I ask her. Let's pray for just a cloud over her to be 80 degrees. Yeah. You pray for the amount that you want, and we'll see what God does, right? Hey, the biggest thing, Brother Tom, is no rain, right? Or ice or snow. Amen. Excitement. See, one, two, three, four. Excitement. We need to pray for excitement. You need to get excited. You need to be excited for the opportunity to share the gospel through this play. Lastly, communication. Only David and Tracy knows the load that Tom and Lindsay's carrying. And it takes communication to get this thing effectively pulled off. Watch this. We need to be committed to miscommunication. What do you mean, Brother Ben? We all know the real motto. Communication is a beautiful thing when it happens. It doesn't happen very often. So we need to be committed to miscommunication. Here it is, church. It's okay. Wait a minute, Brother Tom, but you said I misspoke. Please forgive me. This is what I need you to do now. Now. Okay? We're committed to miscommunication, so it's okay. Okay, that was a miscommunication, but write it off. Let's move on. What do you want me to do? We're committed to miscommunication. We need to pray that we communicate well. Amen, church? Amen. All right, here we go. I'm almost done. 16 days before the walkthrough, our Awana students deserve a great play also. Let's be ready for that walkthrough. This is what I need prayer for before all of that. Our renewal retreat for the association that I am in charge of, and all I mean by that is the association, both of them, Merrimack State, has asked me to put on this renewal retreat. Happens this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Brother Charlie Holmes is going to come and talk to the pastors of the association of what it means to be an association. Brother John Smith is going to talk to us on what it means to be a pastor. Brother Larry Barker is going to talk to us on what it means to be a church. I'm asking you to pray that this, number one, goes off well. Number two, that we have revival spark as a result. Our churches are in desperate need of revival. Lastly, Brother Todd will preach to you all day next Sunday. Do I have that right, Todd?
All day.
All day. I'll bring you lunch. Bring you lunch. That's right. So, in other words, first service, second service, 6:30. Okay? All day. Why? Because in December, I had no clue that God was going to bring snow on four Sundays type thing. If I would have known that I was going to preach eight times between December 25 and today, I probably wouldn't have taken a revival on Sunday. But God doesn't give us those heads up. And I felt led to accept this revival. I will be at a church in Jonesboro, Arkansas with Randy Steinmack, a good friend of mine. Please pray that we experience revival that week. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? If you're here today and you've never, ever accepted Christ as your Savior, we're begging you, come forward. We'll share the gospel with you. We'll send you someone gender appropriate, and they'll share the gospel with you.